You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
1 Corinthians 15. Turn there with me if you will. Hallelujah. We're so glad you came out today to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Resurrection Sunday. I'll tell you, we've got something to shout about. We've got something to be excited about. We've got something to look forward to. We have a hope. We have a future. We have a purpose. Amen. Amen. And our future's bright. Hallelujah. I believe we've got some good days coming. Amen. I heard somebody say the other day, he says, he was a lot older man. They said, well, you gonna live much longer? He says, I'm still buying green bananas. He believed he's gonna live longer. Are you with me? And you know, even when this life is over, it's not over for us. We go on to another place, a better place. Amen. And, you know, we have this hope of the resurrection. I'll tell you, Jesus procured for us and secured for us the hope of another life. Think about that. Not just another existence as we leave this body, but this body that we're in is going to be changed. It's going to be rearranged. It's going to be glorified. Hallelujah. And just like Jesus didn't leave his body in the grave, we're not going to leave ours in the grave. Amen. There are many bodies out there right now in the graves. They've been there for a couple thousand years, but there's coming a day when the trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ will rise. And we which remain alive on earth will be changed in that instant, and we'll meet them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, the Bible says. So that's a great, great event that we're looking forward to happening and coming. And Jesus is the one that made it happen. He's the one that made it, you know, that secured it for us, that paid the price for us. In 1 Corinthians 15, I want to look at some scriptures there and just go through. I don't have a lot of time this morning. You know, it'd take days to cover the subject of the resurrection. But just to see the importance of it, what Paul said about it, the importance he placed on it. Let's notice 1 Corinthians 15 in the 16th verse. If the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is vain or futile, and you are still in your sins. Now, you know, I often think of, and it's a technical point, and I understand the point, and I don't have a problem with it. I mean, you often see, there's billboards that says it is finished, you know, about Jesus on the cross, that it's finished. And he said it is finished on the cross. But it wasn't finished totally, everything he had to do. Everything he had to do on the earth was finished on the cross, and everything that he could do up to that point was finished, and it was nailed to the cross. But I'll tell you, it wasn't finished till he rose from the dead. Amen. Stay with me. Everything he did on this earth as a man before he died was finished at the cross. There's no question. It was, and he said, it is finished. That's all he could do. He submitted himself to the will of God, and he came, and he didn't let this cup pass, but he took this cup, not my will, but thine be done. You know, there was no other way but him to come and die, and he came to die. This is why God sent Jesus. He sent him to die for our sins. We celebrate that babe in the manger. We celebrate that sinless life, but we need not forget that Jesus' sole mission was to die for our sins, and to rise again. Because just dying wouldn't have done it if he didn't come back up on the other side. But it's because people have been dying for years, thousands of years before Jesus and a couple thousand since. But Jesus rose from the dead. And if Christ is not risen, then our faith is vain and we are dead in our sins. So in one sense, yes, it's finished at the cross. I agree with that. I know what Jesus was saying there. He finished his work on the earth as a man. But you know what? He still had to come back up out of that grave. Amen. And we don't serve a dead Christ. We don't serve a crucified Christ. We don't serve a Christ on the cross. We don't serve a Christ in the ground. We serve a risen Christ, a risen Jesus, a risen Savior. Hallelujah. See, when we talk about salvation, we talk about Christianity, we're talking about power. We're talking about power over death. We're talking about the greatest power, the power of God. And it's fascinating to me when you think about the devil's greatest ability or greatest power is death. Jesus said that in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Everybody say kill. And he also said in John 8 that the devil's a murderer and a liar, so he's a liar and a murderer. His greatest enemy, of course, is death. And yet that thing called death is what Jesus came to do, die. and in doing so, destroy it. So he took the enemy's greatest weapon and used it against himself, knowing that he was going to throw everything he had at Jesus, knowing that he was going to kill Jesus. Jesus knew that, came with that intent and purpose to let him throw his best shot. And in so doing, take his greatest weapon and turn it against him, and through death, win the victory. Now that's pretty good strategy when you're looking at an opponent or an enemy, when you know his best shot and you know what it is, you know what he's going to do, and yet you take it and turn it around and use it against him. Oh man, Jesus through death destroyed death. Think about it. And won the victory for us. Victory over death. Now the devil doesn't have the keys of hell and death. When a Christian dies, they don't go down. A Christian soul goes to heaven. Think about it. Jesus took the keys of hell and death away from him. Up to that point, he had them. But now, Jesus has the keys of hell and death. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and death, is what he said. So now when a man or a woman dies as a Christian, what happens? They go right up to heaven. The body goes down, but the spirit goes up. Stephen was stoned in Acts 7 chapter, and the Bible says, he said this as he was being stoned. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Yes, and in Philippians, he said, I'm in a quandary. I'm in a strait betwixt two... I'm talking King Jimmy here. I'm standing at a crossroads. I've got a decision I've got to make. To stay here is far better for you, but for me to go is far better for me. To live as Christ and die is gain. He knew that when he left this earth, he was going to heaven. Don't you cry for me when I leave this earth. And all those tears we shed at those funerals are not for that person. That person that knows Jesus is in a much better place. Hallelujah. We might weep for loss, our loss, but their gain. And we might cry for a moment. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. And we're going to see all those loved ones again, all those babies again, all those parents and brothers and sisters and friends that know Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to see them again. I'm telling you, the tomb is empty. And we're celebrating something here today. This means something today. Not only did Jesus rise from the dead, but it validates our faith, and our faith is not vain and is not futile, and we are not dead in our sins because Jesus is risen. Hallelujah. Amen. So we're alive and we're not dead, and we got hope for the future. Amen. So that's what Paul is saying here. He's saying, if Christ is not risen, your faith is vain and you are still in your sins. But I got good news. Jesus is risen. Amen. So my faith is not vain, and I am not dead in my sins. Amen. I am alive. Hallelujah. Because Jesus lives, I live. Because that tomb is empty, my tomb will empty. There's coming a day that tomb is going to be empty. See, every loved one that you know knows Jesus, those tombs, those graves, they're going to be emptied. Hallelujah. You may be saying, what happened if they got lost at sea? Well, God knows where all the molecules are. Well, what if they've been cremated? Well, God knows where everything is. I mean, come on. I mean, if you want to get down to just burying, and I believe in burial. I think it's a good Christian sign. It's not necessarily a Christian doctrine. There's nothing wrong if you want to be cremated or buried or whatever. That's fine. It's just a body. Listen, when I die, just kick this thing over in the hole somewhere. I'm not there. That's right. Stay with me. I'm not trying to be crude. I'm just saying I'm not there. I'm up in heaven. That's the suit of clothes I had on. That's just the old vehicle I drove around. Are you with me? Amen. When I get home, you know what you do when you get home? I know a bunch of you guys what you're going to do. Before you even get home, that tie's going to come off. I mean, come on. You know you love wearing that suit every day. You just love that suit. Listen, I'm a preacher, and I don't love wearing suits. I wear them for church. That's what I do. But I don't wear them around the house. If I go fishing out with Dick on the lake out here, I guarantee I'm not going to have this suit on. But when I get home, see, when I get home, I'm taking this suit off. Yeah. Amen. And when I get home, I'm getting out of my car. Well, everybody that has died has just got out of their car and took off the suit, they're home. Hallelujah. And all you're looking at in that casket, all you're looking at is that suit and that vehicle. That's all you're looking at. They're not there. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. And Jesus made it happen.
He did.
He made it happen. Hallelujah. So Paul's saying here, 17 verse, 15 chapter, If Christ is not risen, your faith is vain or futile. You are still in your sins, but that's not the case. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished, and that's not the case. If you believe Jesus rose from the dead, then you must believe that every one of your loved ones that knows Jesus is alive. Because you can't say one without the other.
That's right. Yep. That's good.
They have not perished. They have not perished. They are alive. Why? Because Jesus is alive.
Amen.
Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished, and they hadn't because Jesus has risen. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most miserable or pitiable, the New King James says. I tell you, if this is all we got to look for, you've got to be kidding. No, there's something better than this. Now, I realize we have good days down here, and I realize there are some things to rejoice about in life, but you know as well as I do that this life does have tragedy in it, and it does have sorrow in it, and it does have pain in it. At best, there's loss. And that's part of life. I mean, you put all your love and your trust and your faith and you know, your activities with someone, and then they die, and they will. You will or they will. It's going to happen. That's this life. And that's a painful, painful thing to go through. Now, Jesus can help you, and He can comfort you, and He can strengthen you. But I'm telling you, there's something better coming than this.
Amen.
There's something better coming than this. And I believe there's some great days. I think life is good. I have no problem with that. I enjoy life. I think we ought to enjoy each other. We ought to give our love to the maximum to people. Sure, there's a price to pay for love that you give to someone when they're gone, but it's worth every penny and every day that you experience the joy of that love. And I tell you what, it's definitely worth it when you get to heaven. Hallelujah. But you have to realize that this is just a journey. This life is just a temporary thing. It is a passing moment. There's something better coming down the road. This is just a river. It's ever flowing, ever moving, ever changing. And one day we will empty into the sea of eternity in heaven. And we will live forever and ever and ever. And that's where our peace is. And that's where our joy is. And that's where total victory is. There are no down days up there. There are no blue Mondays. There are no bad sides of the bed. There are no mosquitoes or red bugs or chiggers. Hallelujah. Nothing hurts. Nothing harms. Nothing. There's no sorrow. There's no dying. There's no funerals. There's no hospitals. There are none. There are none. You'll never go to a funeral in heaven. You'll never visit anybody in a hospital in heaven. Ever. Never. Never. Never hear about a car wreck. Never. No. No. Won't get woke up in the middle of the night with bad news. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. Because there's nothing up there like that, see. There's nothing where we're going. What Jesus procured for us. The reason He came and died and rose again, went through all that He went through. No, no, no. I tell you, He got for us something better than this life. And this we're celebrating today, the resurrection. We're celebrating the fact that Jesus came out of the grave. The tomb is empty. I tell you what, it has eternal consequences. It's an exciting time for us. It is a celebratory time for us. We're celebrating, rightly so. We've got something to shout about. I'm telling you what, we're going somewhere. Amen. We're going somewhere, and it's a lot better in this place. Thank God for the great parts of this life. And I often say that too at funerals too. That you know, there are good things in life. There are good happenings and good events that we have to hold on to. There's also painful moments and bad times in your life and my life. That's just this earth. That's what this life is like. I believe God's made provision. I believe He gives us comfort. And He gives us hope and help. We can pray. Are you with me? But now, having said that, still, life's still a mixed bag. But if there are parts about this life that you really like and that you love, you're just getting a little piece of heaven on earth. And if there's parts of this life you really like, you don't want to miss heaven. Because heaven's pure heaven 24 hours a day, all day long. It's all good. But on the other hand, if there's parts of this life you don't like, well, you want to be sure to miss hell. Because hell's bad 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, forever. So life's a mixed bag. You can make your choice what you want to do. If you choose Jesus, you will live forever. Hallelujah. And you'll live in pure heaven all day long, every day. Dick, every bass is over 15 pounds. You don't even catch small bass. And you catch them every time you cast. I mean, just, you know, I can see Reggie and Dick out there somewhere on the lake, you know, of heaven, just fishing away. So he says here, y'all with me? He says, if in this life only, 19th verse, we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most miserable. But now Christ is risen from the dead. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, happy day. Jesus is risen. Now, Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who've fallen asleep. Everybody say, first fruits. Now, in the New Testament, every time that you see the word first fruits, it's always talking about people. It's never talking about money. That's the New Testament. So it's always talking about here that Jesus was the first fruit. Now, if there's a first fruit, there's a second, a third. Does that make sense? Or it would be absolutely ridiculous to use the term. It doesn't make any sense. It has no use, no meaning. But when he says first fruits, he is identifying him as one of many, but the first one of many. And so if Jesus rose from the dead, and he's the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, then there's others going to follow. Are you with me? There are others who are going to follow that event or that happening. And he says in the 21st verse, for since by man came death, that would be Adam, by man Jesus also came the resurrection of the dead. Amen. Amen. Have you know all die because of what Adam did 2,000 years ago? Did you know that we can all live because of what Jesus did 2,000 years ago? In fact, what Adam did, he did as a type or he acted as a federal agent, as it were, or as the head of a family, as it were. And whatever he did for all. Kind of like three musketeers, one for all and all for one. But a little more stronger than that. Not Hoss, Adam did this. Adam sinned, and you know what? That sin passed on to all of us. Because he was the first man, the head of the whole human race, and everybody was born in that sin. And so we're all a doomed race or a mortal race, and we all die, have mortality, because of what Adam did. Not because you're necessarily because of your sin, but because of Adam's sin. When the Bible says all of sin comes short of the glory of God, he's talking about the sin of Adam. He's not talking about your moral sin. Now, moral sin's bad, and it causes us to fall short, but in that sense, he's talking about the sin that we all inherited from Adam. We're all lost because of Adam. And we're all born into a doomed race, as it were. So, how are we going to get out of that? I mean, how's a leper change his spots? I mean, come on, man. How can you change who you are? You are who you are. Well, I think you probably have to be born again. Amen. Yes. Are you with me? No amount of good deeds would change who you are. No amount of niceness or helping little old ladies across the street. Even if you got run over in the middle of the intersection, helping a little old lady across the street, it wouldn't take you to heaven because that's not your problem. Your problem's not what you're doing. Your problem is who you are. Now, that's an issue. I believe in holy living. I believe the Bible addresses that. But that doesn't save us. And we're not lost because we're bad. We're not saved because we're good. We're saved by our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. By man came death. By man comes the resurrection of the dead. In Adam, all die. In Christ, all are made alive. Now, whether you're in Christ or not, it's your choice. But you can write it down. You're never going to go to heaven until you get in Christ. Because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. All things become new. This is why Jesus said, you must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. What was he saying? Well, he's saying we're all lost because of who we are. The only way we can get out of being lost is to be born again. Born from above. Have a new daddy. Spiritual birth, not natural birth, as it were. And so what Jesus procured for us, what he secured for us, I like how these texts talk, secured. Secured for us and procured for us. What Jesus went out and got for us, let's put it that way, was eternal life in the new birth, which came from the resurrection of the dead. He was the first fruits. And we're the second, the third, the fourth, and the fifth, and all those things. So it says here, but now Christ is risen from the dead, 21st verse, and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterwards those that are Christ at his coming. That's when the graves are going to be emptied. Hallelujah. That's when the dead will rise. That's when the first fruits, Jesus, will come and get the second, third, fourth, and fifth, and last fruits. Amen?
Amen.
And we'll come up out of that grave. And you say, well, how's that going to happen? Well, let's read on a little further. 35th verse. Someone will say, how are the dead raised up? See, Paul knew you were going to ask that question. How are the dead going to be raised up, and with what body do they come? That always comes up. You know, how we got people that are cremated, we got people that are lost, and we got people that have been buried for 2,000 years, and goodness, they've been consumed into the ground. You couldn't even find their bodies or their bones. Some people have been died for the last 2,000 years. You know, it's just part of life. You know, everything's processed and taken into the earth. And, you know, if you've got a garden over an old cemetery and you didn't know it, you might be eating your great-grandmother for lunch tomorrow. I don't know. It's kind of funny to think about. But, I mean, that's just, it's just, you're just talking molecules. You're just talking body. And I mean, we cringe at that, but you think, are there any bodies left from 2,000 years ago? Unless they were embalmed in Egypt, how many thousands of people have just been consumed into the ground? And see, we don't want to think about that. Next time somebody, you know, ask somebody, what are we having for dinner? Don't ask that question. You don't know. You don't want to know. Oh, I got you going now. Okay. Yeah, you thought that funny. You're so mad at me right now, you don't want to hear the rest of the sermon. Now, come on now. Stay with me. We're just talking about bodies. That's what he's saying. We're just talking about bodies that go into the ground. And that's not you. That's not me. Are you with me? Someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? 36 verse. Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. We all know that. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as He pleases, and to each seed its own body. Isn't that wonderful? And I love that analogy, because what that means is that what comes out of that grave, or comes out of that ground, is going to be better than what goes in. Is there any case where that's not the case? I mean, come on, if you know anything about farming, I don't care what kind of seed it is, what comes out of that ground is always better than what goes in that ground.
Amen.
You think about it. I mean, a little old seed, a kernel of corn comes out, and it's this huge stalk with all kinds of ears of corn in it. I mean, it is a marvelous, beautiful thing that came out of the DNA in that one little seed that was placed in the ground. An acorn that's just planted in the ground comes up, and it's a huge, mighty oak. I mean, it's amazing what is all wrapped up in that one little acorn. But until that acorn dies and is put in the ground, the body that it could be or should be or that it was designed and destined to be will never come to pass. And even as great as Jesus was when He walked the earth, you know what? The bodies He's in now is a whole lot different and better than the one He had before. Because when He come out of that grave, all of a sudden He's appearing inside of walls. And sometimes He glistens so much like the sun, and He has so much glory on Him that people would fall down. John fell down in the book of Revelation. The breath left his body. He thought he was dead because he saw something so starkly, shockingly illuminating, real. That's what you and I are looking forward to. Did you know we're going to have a body? A glorified body. They have no mars, no nothing wrong, no wrinkles, nothing, no age in it. Perfect,
yes.
Glistening, yes. Shining. And it, you know, if you would, and stay with me on this point. If you were walking down the aisle at Brookshire's and saw your neighbor in a glorified state, you would fall on your feet and worship them like a god. You'd be wrong. But that would be your inclination to do that. That's actually what John did in Revelation when angels would appear to him. Not only angels, but sometimes his fellow brethren who had been glorified up in heaven, he fell down to worship them. They said, worship me not. I'm one of your brethren. Because the glory that's going to be revealed in us because of this Sunday celebration, because of the resurrection, because of what Jesus did, we're going to look at all this as an old tale one day. Every bit of it. All of it's going to pass away. We're going to live on, 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 on. We're going to outlive everything.
Amen.
And we're going to be glorified. We're going to glisten. And that's the real. See, that's the real world. This is the passing world. This is the shadow lands. We're just living in the shadow lands. That's all. All this is just a shadow. Just a photo album just images of what is to come. Just scent, just an aroma. But the scent is coming from heaven, see? We're trying to live off of it here. It won't work. You can't live off the scent. But one day we're going to be in the kitchen where the scent's coming from. Are you with me? One day we're going to be in the real where the shadow is being cast upon us. And one day we're going to step out of this photo album. We're looking around, looking at pictures and thinking, all this is real. No, this is all temporary. What you see, the Bible says, is temporary. What you don't see is eternal. You think about that. And the Bible, and I love this when you take that analogy. That's why the Bible says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. No, you know why? Because we're not solid enough. We're not real enough. We got the whole thing flipped in our mind. We think heaven and the world of the spirit is some insubstantial, vaporous, gaseous place, you know. But the Bible says, what is your life? It is but a vapor. And you know why Jesus walked through the walls where the disciples were? Not because he was insubstantial, not because he was just vaporous, but because those walls weren't solid enough to keep him from walking through them. He was too real. He's too solid. And when he would appear, and when angels many times would appear, people fall down, the breath leaves them because they see something not gaseous, not vaporous, not something insubstantial, but they see something real for the first time in their whole life. They never saw anything that real, never saw anything that solid, and immediately they go, and they fall down like dead people. Moses wanted to see God, and God says, you can't look at me face to face. You look at my face, you will die. Why? Because he was insubstantial? No, because he's too real. Moses wasn't real enough. You'll never become real enough and solid enough to go to heaven until you get saved. It's not that God doesn't want you up there. You can't exist up there. You have to be changed. This incorruptible has to put on incorruption. This mortal has to put on immortality. This death has to be swallowed up of life. God is life, and there's no death up there. He's light, and there's no darkness up there. You can't exist up there without Jesus. You have to be saved. You have to be born again. It's too real. It's too solid. I mean, you think of Moses. God told Moses, you get over in a cleft of this rock, and I will just pass by backwards. You read it. That's what he said. He said, you just look at my backside. That's all you. That's enough. That's all you can even handle. And he did. And you know what happened when he came off the mountain? He couldn't even look at anybody because the glory on Moses was so strong. Just by looking at his backside, he had to put a veil over his face because people couldn't look at him. Wow. See, if you went to heaven right now in your body, your state, you couldn't walk on the grass because the blades would cut through you like knives. That grass is too real. And if it ever rained up, the drops would go through you like bullets. You're just not solid enough. You would be in total, complete fear of everything because it's so real. You couldn't handle it. You have to be changed. And thank God we have been. And thank God Jesus made a way for us to go there. He made a way for us to be changed and live in heaven. With a new body, better than this seed, this acorn, and I've been called nut lots of times. Better than this seed and this acorn, there is a mighty oak coming. That you're going to be, that kind of body is going to be like a mighty oak compared to this acorn of a body you got now. You get in the picture, see? That's what he's saying. There's something better coming, hallelujah. How's it going to be raised? Well, it's going to be raised in glory. Oh, hallelujah. I'm getting stirred up. I don't know about y'all. So he says here, can I read just a little bit and then we'll close out here? I know it's Resurrection Sunday and we're dismissing tonight. You know why we dismiss tonight? You know, a couple of reasons. First, we want your families to get together. And secondly, we set two records on Easter Sunday. We used to. And I always thought about Elijah, you know, when he killed those 400 prophets of Baal. Hey, come on now. That's Sunday morning. That's Easter. That's Easter. That's the pastor on Easter. Slayed 400 prophets as well. He's feeling your oats. I mean, you're picking high cotton. You know, you're looking good. You're feeling good. And then you come back Sunday night. You come back Sunday night, and you're behind that rock with Elijah going, Lord, am I the only one left serving you? Come on now. I'm human. I only take so much. Come on. I can take so much beating. That's it. So I decided years ago, you know, I'm going to leave on a high Sunday. And we're going to let everybody fellowship with their family Sunday night. And I'm not crawling behind no rock tonight. No sirree, Bob. Okay. Anyway, y'all have fun tonight. So, come on, stay with me. He says in the 38th verse, but God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another flesh of fish, another birds. There are also celestial bodies, terrestrial bodies, that's earthly bodies. The glory of the celestial is one, the glory of the terrestrial is one. There is the glory of the sun, there's another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star, and glory from another star. So also is the resurrection of the dead. Oh, this is good. The body is sown in corruption, but it's raised in incorruption. It's sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. That's Jesus. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, just like the seed first, see? And afterward, the spiritual. In other words, there's something better coming. Woo! This is what we celebrate. This life at its best is nothing but like an acorn compared to the mighty oak that we're going to be when we come out of this grave and get to heaven.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my. No, this is all natural, but there's something spiritual coming, something better coming, just like a seed. And did you know there's always a better existence on the other side of that seed? I always look at three examples that always help me look at this. A seed is a perfect example. It has one existence in the ground. That's it. That's all there is. But when it comes up out of the ground, you know what? It's still in the ground and it's still out of the ground. It can operate in two worlds now instead of one. And it's so much better, and it's got so much better body. Another one is like a tadpole. Tadpole, you know, swimming around in the pond. You've seen them. You know, they just have one existence in the water. But when they really mature and take that new body and become a full-blown frog, not that I'm calling you that, but when they become a full-blown frog, they can jump out of the water, they can jump in the water, they can exist in two different worlds. They have access to another world. Then a butterfly is kind of like that. A butterfly is just a caterpillar climbing around on a tree, and that's all it has. Its one existence is to walk around, crawl around, whatever. But when it goes into that cocoon, and it changes that body and comes out changed, it's a butterfly who now can land on trees still and walk around, but also can fly out there in the air. So something's gained and nothing's lost. Now, when you leave this earth, it's not a loss. Oh, no, 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 no. It's a gain. All of a sudden, now you're able to operate in more than one world. You can operate down here, but you can operate in heaven. You have a body now that exists in both existences, and it's better. It's a much, much better body. Isn't that good? That's like the body that's sown into the ground, that's in that casket, that's in that ground. It's going to come out a whole lot better than it went in. It's going to come out glorified. It's going to come out a spiritual body. Hallelujah. And all because Jesus rose from the dead. You know, okay, this is it. I'm quitting. This is the last, and I'm closing it out. 51st verse. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. I always like to say that's a good banner to put in your nursery. They shall not all sleep, but they shall be changed. Think about it. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised, incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has been put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Isn't that good? Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Oh, we got a great day coming. Amen.
Amen.